The Ocean Park Community Podcast, bringing you the history of our neighborhood through stories from residents. You're listening to part 3, Everyday Life in Ocean Park. We're joined again by Pete, Ed, and Don. Today's topic is the living conditions from 1946 to 1953, and what life was really like in Ocean Park.
White Rock at that time had a few stores down on the waterfront. I can't remember a grocery store down there. There probably was. I know there was clothing in the post office and the barber shop.
Oh, yeah. Well, I worked at Overweight downtown.
Yeah, but that was latter years.
When I went to school, 1954.
Oh, okay.
They needed somebody to work down there, and I was chosen out of the class to go down and work. And it was right across from the railroad station.
Yeah.
And then Bud Stapleton, my neighbor, he worked at Stang's Red and White, Red and White, and it was there. And then they had Tingles on East Beach.
In those days, most of our mothers did stay home, yes.
Yeah.
And it was quite often, like I think in the early years, before my dad started commuting all the time, for about a year and a half or 2 years we moved out here, he only came out on the weekend. And then he eventually, as things got going, like road traffic is a little better, to get to downtown Vancouver, they would have to drive from here to New Westminster, or across the Patella Bridge to New Westminster, and then down through the Lougheed Highway down.
Well, it was before the Lougheed, was the Grandview Highway.
And then to Vancouver. So then they would commute. Some people commuted daily, like Ed's father and my father, and old Mr. Hulks and that, and guys, they commuted daily. Yeah. There was a couple of fellas, like Gus McKeegan, he stayed in town, and he went in Monday morning, came out Friday night, and different things like that. So until the road systems got better. You know, there were roads here. It wasn't, it's not like we were in the dark ages. It's just that the mentality of commuting to your job hadn't really set in. No. Normally you would live close to your job, but it just so happened that our parents had jobs farther away in town. That they came from these jobs, we moved from Vancouver or wherever to here, and our parents were already established in their workforce.
Yeah. See, a lot of people that moved out here, they moved out here because they're poor.
Mm-hmm.
The houses and the travel, you know, it started to come here because they, like Peter was saying about, they had their jobs there. And my dad originally started commuting in a Model A. You know what a Model A is? I used to have to go out and help him get started because he cranked it. My dad cranked it, and I had to run the pedal. There was two bars on the behind the wheel, and you had to control
the
spark.
Wheel,
and you had a spark in your gas, and then he would, boom, I'm going to get started, and run around, jump in the car, and fine-tune it for him, and then off he go, and then he'd go into along the Mud Bay Flats there and take a run at Woodridge Hill, because I don't think he would have made it unless he did. Top speed was about 50 miles an hour, and that was through the gravel and everything. He was really pushing it, and he would do that every day.
So, Pop, if you didn't commute into Vancouver for your job, was there any kind of industries or job in the local area?
Well, everybody went to work for a bank. That was the big...
The kids from high school did.
Yeah.
Not the older ones.
Yeah. No.
A lot of the older ones could do things, trades like that sort of thing, and just do their own thing.
Carpenters,
plumber, electricians. Yeah, a lot of young people, guys and gals, went into the armed forces.
Yeah,
a lot of them went to the Air Force.
Girls went in to be nurses or teachers.
Yeah, they did.
Nurses,
they did. Banks and forces.
Or nurses,
the and then nurses and teachers for the girls.
Yeah. There was lots of carpentry jobs because now things were on the move, expanding. Lots of jobs in trucking or bulldozing. You know,
everybody was in the bulldozer business in White Rock.
Yeah.
And they all intermarried.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
The Peace Arch Hospital was built by the Brakes and Longstaffs, and they were all bulldozing companies.
So when would a bus system have come in?
It would be weekend only with the old Pacific Stage Line.
Pacific Stage Line.
I believe Pacific Stage Line, there used to be the Morehouse bus line.
Yeah. But it was more from White Rock.
Yeah.
About 140th, you could catch it there.
Yeah. Eventually, BC Hydro purchased most of the bus lines, like PCL, Morehouse, and the others.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, in the 60s before we started to get a half-decent bus system, late 50s, early 60s, the train had a regular stop at White Rock. The Great Northern traveled from Seattle to Vancouver, Vancouver to Seattle, daily. And it was a whistle stop at Ocean Park. They call it a whistle stop, but you could flag the train down, hop on, and you could also get on the train at Crescent Beach. You have a picture here showing the old station and the siding at Crescent Beach, and there's no existence of it today from probably the late 60s, early 70s. Would take that out.
Heron Park is there pretty well, just behind Heron Park.
So between the train and the bus, if you didn't have a car, that's how you traveled around the province.
And then every Friday night, the bus would come from White Rock. It would come here, go by us at Ocean Park, and then go down to Crescent Beach and pick up people to go to the Park Theater in White Rock.
Yeah.
And so we would get up here and we'd catch the bus usually when he's going by.
Yeah.
He didn't like to stop, but he used to stop. We used to hop in and we'd have a seat. Otherwise, you'd be standing in room only all the way to White Rock. And you'd get there after the movie had started. When the bus arrived, a sign would come on the screen and say, bus leaving for Crescent Beach. So everybody would
bail out
and catch the bus, and off they go.
Yeah.
We could get into the movies for, 15 cents, 25 cents? Yeah. And then it was really, and it was a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah, that bus was it not originally owned by Jack Kelman and his partner? Garner, was it?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Okay, and then Jimmy Ferguson, the customs agent, bought the bus system off him and put a newer bus on. First of all, BC Electric bought them all up, and then BC Electric turned into Hydro as we know it. The people that owned the BC Electric, Mainwarings, used to live down on Ocean Park Road down here, and they own BC Electric.
Indian Fort Road.
The three big cement houses are now at about 20th and Ocean Park Road. You know the gentleman that's with Ritchie Brothers?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
That was all Mainwaring property there.
And Cliff bought some of that stretch there and made greenhouses. And so the only paved road in Ocean Park was in front of those greenhouses.
Yeah.
And, and one time... we were kids and we were walking on the road and Cliff came by and saw us three kids and we were all looking at his new Cadillac, right? Oh, we thought that was great. And so he says, you guys want a ride? So we all hopped in the back seat and we rode that length of the paved road and we just thought we were just
in heaven.
We thought we were sitting back and taking it all in, you know. They were one of the first to have television.
Yeah, R.L. Cliff, yeah.
Yeah, and... And the other one was the owner of Perfex Bleach. That was a Perfex company. It was like...
Still around today.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he had one, and he had a good friend that was a friend of us who used to come out in the summer, Eddie Morrell. We'd go and watch TV there. And there was only three channels, and they all came from Seattle.
For bathing, we had a great big round aluminum
tub. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the bathroom.
Yeah. And it was and you usually have it in the kitchen by the stove because the other rooms are so damn cold.
Yeah.
And
I don't think ours was near the kitchen. I'd have never had a bath that was in the kitchen.
Yeah, right.
And next to the old wood burning kitchen stove.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I see food rationing was mentioned.
Yeah.
That happened
earlier,
in the war years and for a little period after.
Yeah.
And we had little stamps that we...
Coupons
that you presented to get certain items of food.
Yeah.
And there's
also around that time, there was this fellow that ran around the whole Ocean Park with in general area with a truck with the groceries in it.
Yeah.
So it was delivered right to your house. And that was pretty popular, I think most people used to use it.
So like once a week a grocery truck would come in?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
He'd
it's just like a van, right?
Park out in front of your house and he'd go run through his truck and see what you wanted.
Because that would be just the staples. I presume your parents grew the vegetables and things like that.
Small gardens, yeah. Small
garden. What about the United Church camp?
It was busy.
They would have summer camps that would last all summer.
One week they'd bring out girls, next week they'd bring out boys. Each hut could hold 8 people, 8 bugs. Yeah.
But they used to pack that place every summer.
Yeah.
All summer long.
Yeah. They had an outdoor pool, right?
In latter years.
They used to go.
No, they did not have an outdoor pool. That was built a lot later.
Yeah.
Well, they
at the late end of that.
Yeah.
What they used to do was they had a trail that was very hazardous off the edge of the cliff, and they would go down from the park to the beach down below. And anyway, that was their main route to the beach. And they swam down there. Why, I don't know. It was the rockiest place.
Yeah. On the so whole, that's why they moved
the
down there.
Beach. So they moved around to Ocean Park.
Yeah.
It went through different churches. And I can remember when they put the pool in there, our own children, who are now in their 50s, learned to swim there. And in the summertime, you could always hear the kids laughing. It was kind of nice, you know. You'd come home from work and you'd be all dead tired and smelly and hot, and all these kids were having a ball across there in the pool in the fire, and that was kind of nice.
But in the early days, there was no running water. So even the kids that came out and stayed in these huts, they had a table out on their porch, and they had a big jug and a basin, and they'd have to wash in that every morning, right? They had a fellow that looked after it in the wintertime. His name is Mr. Gifford. And he used to take us young guys, and he had a workshop. He'd teach us how to work his lathe and stuff like that. So
He started the original boys' club, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Sanford Hall.
He was an umpire in Toronto.
Yeah.
And he moved out here and became that. And he was a really nice fellow.
Because that's where we started to learn to tumble. Gymnastics and stuff like that before that picture in the Ocean Park Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're talking at the boy. You had a boys' club at the hall.
Yeah.
Right?
After
and I presume
it moved.
Well, the scouts were more or less at the United Church there.
Oh, were they?
And the girls had CGIT or what, you know.
That was separate.
Girls in training, you
know. Separate.
They had a play going on there, and they needed a couple of guys, right? So they recruited me, and I had to act on the stage with all these girls, you know, and so.
What age were you then?
About 15 or something.
Oh, tremendous.
They were important parts too, so I don't know.
Oh. And that was at the hall? Or
United Church, at the hall behind it there?
Yeah.
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 They had a stage in there.
And Dawn and I were in the choir at the United Church in Crescent Heights until our voices changed.
Ocean Park has the best weather in Canada, I think, because, you know, we don't get too hot and we don't get too cold. And if it's hot, we get a breeze off the ocean. And if it's cold, we get the ocean to keep us warm. I used to commute to Vancouver about 40 years, and I would leave my house and there'd be no snow. And I'd start going down to get on the highway towards Elgin and going, I could see the snow coming deeper and deeper. So I had to be careful. I always had to leave to work early because in the wintertime, there's just no way that I want to get stuck in the snow.
It would be good here.
Yeah.
We had, in 1973 or 74, we had neighbors move in right out of Ontario. He's a retired Mountie. I came home one night, and you could not get up. They now call it Chanterelle Hill, but the guy that lived at the top of it was Chandler. So I still call it Chandler Hill.
Chandler Hill, too.
And because you can't get up it.
No.
Because there was flashing lights all over the place, wreckers and cars stuck. So I turned around, bought the long route home. I got home, it was like this. It was raining, but the lawns were green and stuff like that. So I went and knocked at my neighbor's house, and I said, would you like to see real British Columbia? And, you know, they looked at me like I was some sort of a nut. So anyway, I picked them up with my wife, and we drove back down 128th and down Crescent Road.
Jeez.
And we got to the top of Chandler Hill there, and all you could see was snow coming down and all these flashing lights. Then we turned around and drove the 2 miles back home to our green lawn.
And one time I was commuting with your dad. I went into town with him, and we came to Peterson Hill.
Yes.
Okay. there was like six lanes going up the road. Everybody was trying to get past the other person.
Yeah.
So look, fortunately, we always had a number of people that traveled with his dad. And we all hopped out. We pushed him through, and we worked our way through all the cars. We pushed other cars out of the way and up and as best we could, and we just kept on pushing. We got to the crest of the hill. We just kept on a going.
Yeah. It wasn't a place of poverty here. Yeah. It was just middle-class down-home workers.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
Yeah.
And it's developed into what it's developed into.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was a great place to grow up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody comes back.
Yeah. Bottom line.
There's a certain aura about Ocean Park. You know, I can feel it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the last few years, my wife and I have considered moving into a gated community or whatever, and we've looked at some pretty nice places, but
it's not the same.
Impossible. Like,
no, you just can't leave.
Can't leave the place. You know, I don't know what it is, but...
They keep boosting our taxes. We've got to keep paying our taxes and deferring our taxes, but they still put them up, and they won't kick me off my land.
No, I grouch and complain about it, but I still pay them.
And, No, I decided to defer mine. It got ridiculous.
Yeah.
There are little areas everywhere in the world.
Yes.
You know, that you really love something like this, and it's your roots go so deep, it's really hard to pull them up and change. You know, when you're young, you can do it. Like when I was young, I didn't realize what we had here. We just grew up here, and it was Ocean Park, and I went away and did things, and I eventually came back, and I came home for my brother's wedding in 1957, and the young lady across the street had grown up, and they had to ship all my stuff out of Yukon because I never went back, so, yeah.